Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There is no shortage of action going on with our partners at BetOnline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back. The NBA is almost here. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds for their upcoming games. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online wagering experts.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, Pelicans fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdwrites.com and Bleacher Report. Today, we are very excited to be visiting with the Toronto Blue Jays medical director and advisor to QuestCap, Dr. Glenn Copeland. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing just great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're so thrilled. We have so many questions to ask you, so we're going to go ahead and dive right on in. Before we do that, sir, wishing you very well. I know it's uncertain times. How has the past 3 months been treating you?
Well, I think for every doctor that I know, it's been a horrible, horrible time because we can't do what we've all been trained to do, and that is to in each of our specialties to be helping our patients, to see our patients in person, to be able to treat and examine and provide the care that every physician's ever been trained to do. And so it's been very, very difficult and frustrating for us. Now that we're getting back, I think all of us are loving being back doing what we love doing. And this virus has been a very perplexing time for all of us, because this is something we've never seen. The big word I think that we've heard the last 3 months, Preston, has been this unprecedented virus, and it is, because it's something we've never seen. In my career, the only thing that I've seen that was in any way drawn analogy to would have been the HIV AIDS issue in the early 80s, and so it's been something that I hope I never see again, and I hope we can get the vaccine and the treatments as fast as possible.
Yeah, well, before we get the vaccine and the treatments, I know that you have been uniquely qualified to help 20 different teams across the four major sports that have reached out to you and QuestCap for the help in getting back to some form of normalcy, getting back to playing meaningful games. And we're going to cover all of it. But before we start with that, I want you to explain to us your three-zone method.
Sure. So this method is you know, it's the outer zone, the middle zone, and the inner zone. And you know, I think we got to come back to basics and simplify this for everybody, the public specifically, and that is that the whole basis of what we have to do as a society is stop people from catching the virus. It's as basic as that, and I think we've gotten somewhat off topic of so many groups who are talking about masks and gloves and all the things that we use to stop the spread of the virus. But the most important thing is stopping the spread. So Our outer zone, middle zone, and inner zone is pretty simple. The outer zone is the world. That's where we all live, and that's where we do our day-to-day life. The middle zone is the area that is the protector, if you will, of the inner zone. The inner zone has to be as COVID-free as possible, because if there's no COVID virus in that zone, then you can't catch it. And that's the key. So the middle zone is the testing zone. That's the zone, Preston, that people will be tested, whether it's PCR testing, antigen testing, antibody testing, the list goes on. But also in that zone, that middle testing zone, you can do the simple basic medical stuff, temperature checks, symptom checks. Most people, if you talk to them and explain that when people get a cold, they get symptoms. They understand that. And it's the same with COVID. You, for the most part, you're going to get symptoms in most cases. It might be mild. It might be a sore throat. It might be upper respiratory cough. It might be, almost like an asthma attack with difficulty breathing, losses of smell, loss of taste. It could be any one of those. And it could also be, obviously, high fevers and other symptoms. And so in that middle zone, we go looking for the symptoms. We go looking for temperature, and we do the testing. If the testing and no fever and no symptoms, all of it match, then we have, to make the assumption that you are COVID-free, because the testing that we do, the blood testing, whether it's antigen, antibody, nasal swab, that will lead us to believe that you are COVID-free. Now you can enter into the COVID-free zone as long as you stay in that zone and everybody who's in that zone has gone through the same testing. Then we're 98-99% sure that there's no COVID in that zone. And that's exactly what NBA basketball is doing. They're looking at this bubble, if you will. We call it the inside zone. And it's a great way and a safe way to try and start sports.
Hey, Dr. Copeland, you made the transition for me, because when I was listening to you describe in detail each zone, that's the first thing that popped to mind, of course, was the bubble and what NBA is trying to pull off in Orlando.
Sure.
So it sounds like that you have a good trust in what they're trying to create there. Basically, what are some concerns that you think could arise just from, I know that you have to take great meticulous care in zone two. But with so many people, how reliable and effective do you think the NBA can effectively pull off this COVID-free zone? Because even they've announced they expect that at least some players will contract, the coronavirus.
Sure. That's a terrific question, because first off, I commend the NBA for an incredibly great job. The commissioner and his team and the owners and the general managers, all of them, they work very hard and very close together to do all the right things. We saw, and I'll look back 3-4 weeks ago where the German Premier Soccer League started up, and the first before the first weekend, two players tested positive for COVID. And that is going to happen. But I would expect that we are going to see an NBA player or two or three, test positive. The key, Preston, the real important part of this is to prevent the spread. So, a player may contract it through going to a restaurant that maybe he shouldn't have gone to. We don't know exactly where. By leaving the bubble, possibly he may contract it. But the great news is we're going to pick it up. The NBA will pick it up. They're going to get him in quarantine. They're going to get him the medical care he needs, if he needs medical care. And just like what happened in Germany, the player will be back on the playing field within a period of 7, 10, 12 days. He won't be infectious anymore, and he'll return to normal. You know, that's the statistic of 99.9% of young, healthy adults. And so we would expect that he'll do just fine. Looking at the testing is going to catch anybody who could be a potential spread. So yes, unfortunately, somebody is going to get diagnosed with COVID. And I'll liken this to what happened in 1991, Preston, where I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but we lived through HIV. We lived through the early 80s mm-hmm. with HIV, and we were all scared. We didn't understand it. We didn't understand the transmission. We didn't understand how contagious it was. There were so many stories and rumors. But I must say, part of Major League Baseball at the time and working with the teams the players were nervous. Players were scared. They didn't know if they could contract it from saliva or mm-hmm. or blood or getting close to another player. But guess what? 1991, Magic Johnson goes public with HIV. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Every other player in the league rallied around him as they should have. They played against him. There was no more fear. Magic, thank God, has gone on to a fabulous career. He's done exceptionally well in his business life and his personal life. And we all admire what an incredible legacy that Magic Johnson is. And COVID is going to be the same in regards to the fact that, yeah, a player is going to test positive. And guess what? He's going to isolate. He's going to quarantine. And he's going to come back. And it's going to show the world that right now we have to take every precaution we possibly can. We have to listen to the infectious disease doctors, the epidemiologists, the immunologists, public health docs, all of them. But we're going to have to live with COVID for the time being until we have either a great treatment or until we have a vaccine. So great, great kudos to the NBA for looking at this virus, respecting it, understanding it, finding the safe way to pick up their sport and to keep not only the players, but everybody around these teams safe as best they possibly can. Life is going to move forward, and it's a return to safe life is what the NBA is going to show us, that it can be done, and that yes, there'll be drawbacks. We know there'll be drawbacks. There'll be a player. The place that concerns me is which we all hope won't happen, is that we can't prevent the spread, because if that happens, then we, our calculations have been off. And but I do believe, seeing what I've seen in the Taiwan Baseball League, the South Korea Baseball League, and German Premier Soccer, they've all been able to do this. And I know that the NBA will be able to make this happen.
There is no shortage of action going on with our partners at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back. The NBA is almost here. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer have all resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds for their upcoming games. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC happening live every day for our devout gamblers to check out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. Betonline.ag, your online wagering experts.
It's good to know how confident you are in their work and they are in you to consider you an advisor. That helps us all to rest easy. But you mentioned, I want to circle back for a moment. You said the NBA is going to pick it up. And to do that, as you mentioned, they're going to need tests and they're going to need a lot of them. And you said as many as 30 players can be tested in 35 minutes with 15-minute results. For the common man who's never seen one of these tests, we've heard that, you know, goes back to the nasal cavity, almost tickling the brain, as some people like to joke. That's going to be uncomfortable for players. Yeah, I know. It's pretty funny on the surface. So what are you doing to make these tests frequent so that these players can take them? How many will they need to take, and how can you make them more comfortable for these players?
Sure. So let me start off by saying, Preston, I am not involved with the NBA, you know, at all. I've spoken to three or four of their teams as a informal consultant. So I don't know the actual tests that the NBA will themselves be using. But let me tell you about the new testing. So the test that you're describing is the PCR test. That's the nasal cavity one, where we go and take a swab out of the nasal cavity. And you're right, it is way up there. So it's a little uncomfortable. But some of the newer testing, the one that I'm referring to is an antibody test, is a pinprick. So it's very much like somebody who's diabetic who's doing blood sugar. You get a little pinprick, a drop of blood on your finger. It's put in a little tray. And from that, we can tell whether somebody has formed the antibodies and have already been exposed and had the virus. Or there's also a particular antibody called IgM, and that antibody develops as the player or the person is getting ill, and it's a first antibody. And so that particular test is very easy to take. You literally get a little pinprick, and people do very, very well with that little pinprick. Most people don't even need a Band-Aid. And so, they would grab a cup of coffee while they're waiting for the results to show up. And if the results are negative, as we would expect, and they've already done the symptom check and they've already done the temperature check, and if all of that is negative, off to the inner zone or the bubble they go. And so the other part of this, Preston, too, is gathering the data. So we don't have enough data on this new virus. And so, and what I mean by that, give you the example. When people get sick and they think they have COVID, they generally speaking will go to the doctor, but usually the hospital. And so the hospital sees them, they're already sick, they're running high fevers and all the symptoms that COVID have. But here we got healthy players who are getting tested every day. So by gathering the data, we might be able to find little telltale signs that somebody might have been infected but showing no symptoms. So what would that be? Maybe a slight rise in temperature. Maybe there's an issue with breathing early on. Maybe there's a loss of taste early on. So by gathering the data, we will be able to help medicine in any of these testing protocols to look for the little things that may tweak us to say, guess what? Every single patient had a loss of smell or a loss of taste 4 days before they got sick or whatever. So the data gathering that we can give to the public health people is going to be huge. Contact tracing is another part of this. And so with the players, they'll be able to contact trace wherever and whoever they've been in contact with, which will be terrific because we will be able to pinpoint whether it's baseball, basketball, or any of the leagues that get started, where there's a contact so we can stop the spread. Again, stop the contagious aspect.
Yeah, Dr. Copeland, that's interesting you bring that up because that's kind of where my next question is going to go. Have you had a chance to peruse at all what the NBA recently released in regards to the health and safety protocol?
I have not seen it. I heard it's out, but I have not seen it yet. So,
okay. I can familiarize with kind of what I'm going to ask. And that's basically they've divided up into a lot of different phases. But the thing that stands out to me is once these players get actually inside the bubble, they're still going to be asked to maintain a lot of physical distancing, to limit interactions and the like. So I was curious, is that all just in basically to reduce the rate of transmission just in case a case was to pop up? Is that it? And is that, you know, the smartest exactly. idea to go about it? Because from what I understand, the players probably aren't going to be too happy about something like this.
Well, here's, you know, one of the leagues, which I've been doing some consulting with, you know, this is an issue for players because, you know, they're going to be taken away in many cases from their families and, mm-hmm. You know, for the NBA, you know, you're probably looking, I'm guessing it's, 8 to 12 weeks, you know, they'll finish off their season, you know, do their playoffs, et cetera. But you know, when you start talking, about, taking, baseball, for example, if they go to the bubble program, you know, the players are you know, 16, 18 weeks away from family, friends, you know, social distancing. And one of the things that we've recommended, and I think, you know, there seems to be one of the things that both sides are accepting is maybe it's 4 weeks in the bubble, 2 weeks out of the bubble. Okay. So the players, you know, will be away from their families, their wives, their kids, their parents, for these great lengths of time. But, I again commend the NBA for not letting up on this. You can't let up. If you can social distance just in case, there's always that just in case. What happens if one photographer, you know, inadvertently did something and got too close to a player? What happens if a food handler, you know, unfortunately, their wife came home the night before and worked in a facility that had an outbreak? I mean, you know, you can't live in a complete bubble. There's people coming in and out, and even though mm-hmm. you're testing them, somebody may carry in the virus. And so by doing the smart things, the social distancing, mm-hmm. possibly wearing a mask, mm-hmm. You know, when you're not within.
Yeah, there's talk of that. Yes,
exactly. And so again, we want to give all the players, the coaches, the trainers, the managers, all the tools they need to absolutely make sure they're given all the right advice to make sure that we contain the virus as best we possibly can. So I'm 100% in support of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think until, you know, we get a great treatment where, we, you know, if we can get to the stage, and I think you probably read recently, dexamethasone, came out and you know, they feel 35% reducing the risk of getting, you know, really ill and preventing fatalities. Well, that's the beginning. We got a nice beginning here. Sooner or later, there will be, just like there was with HIV, now we've got great cocktails. Now people who are HIV positive, for the most part, can live long and full lives on the right medications. But it's taken, you know, 25, 30 years to get there. We hope with COVID we can get there in the next few months where we can have great new treatment protocols, whether it's cocktails or existing medications. And once we get there, there might be a little bit of a let up. But until we get there, we have to respect the virus for the incredible damage it could do. Thankfully, in most cases, it doesn't do that damage. You know, the statistics just came out in Canada which were a bit of an eye opener, and that is that the actual risk of a fatality for healthy people under 65 is 6 in a million. Okay, So when you think of that statistic, you say 6 in a million, 65 and under healthy people. That mimics the motor vehicle accident statistics for 65 and under. Okay, so the good news is that yes, this is a deadly virus in certain cases in certain populations, but 65 and under in Canadian statistics is 6 people. In a million will succumb to the virus, 65 and under. So when we look at basketball, the risk, we extrapolate it, it is very, very slight. Players would become a fatality. But we still don't want them exposed to the virus under any circumstances.
Great stuff, Dr. Copeland. I'll get you out on this one. We are so grateful you've been so kind with your time. You spoke about fatalities as related to COVID-19. In Florida, it's about 1 in 30 who contract it. However, 1 in 7 of those people who contract it still need to be hospitalized. Are you concerned about long-term effects that may affect someone who contracts the disease, though it doesn't necessarily create a mortality?
Right. Preston, you couldn't have asked a more timely question. Their study just came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And in this particular study, it says, and again, this is one study, but it's saying that 22% of people who contract the virus could end up with some heart issues. Are these heart issues going to be long-term? The actual study that's in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, indicates what we call in medical terms an infection of the heart, that the virus can actually infect the heart. And in many of those cases, it can and does likely resolve. But in other cases, it doesn't. So we are now finding, unfortunately, that there could be longer term effects of the virus, even though you have recovered from the actual initial infection of the virus, that the long term concerns are there. And as a medical director for the Ottawa Red Blacks, which is a Canadian Football League team, if and when we go to training camp, we've been told, we've got to be aware that if somebody has had COVID, we've got to make sure that there is no underlying, heart concern or infection that's been caused by the virus. A whole new world for us because, you take a normal healthy athlete and, in their 20s, you'd normally don't think of worrying too much about a heart condition. And now with this particular study, and there's going to be more and more of this. I mean, we know that people who've had the virus, it affects blood clotting. We've seen that, unfortunately. We've seen other things, loss of smell, loss of taste. We know that people have long-term loss of smell and taste, and we don't know how long it's going to take to come back because this virus is only 4 or 5 months old. So there's all these things that, that's why it's so important, even though when you talk about statistics, and we start talking numbers, that we know, like if we look at Canadian statistics, which are very similar to American, 5% of people who catch this virus are becoming a fatality. Now, the vast, vast, vast majority of them are people, who are over 65 with comorbidities, they're high hypertensive, diabetic. The list is quite long. But the important thing to realize is that it's still a virus that can cause other problems that can last a long, long time.
Great stuff, Dr. Copeland. You've been so kind with your time. We really appreciate it. And best of luck to you, sir. Stay safe. Stay healthy to you and your family. And I hope we can get these sports back soon.
Preston, I'm hoping, and I think they will, and these leagues are doing an incredibly great job at taking their time and finding the safe way to so we can turn our TVs on and enjoy it once again. Be well and be safe, Preston, and thank you for taking the time with me.
Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.